Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Ooh, praise the Lord. And I want to help you tonight. Matthew 26. This is a familiar passage, but probably you've never heard it taught in reference to justice. But you'll see where we're headed here shortly. And I believe that if you'll listen tonight, now, some of you, you like taking notes. You're going to have eight statements to write down. I have 8 points to my sermon. I have less than 40 minutes, so I'm not going to be dilly-dallying on them, but Mindy, be quiet. All right, Matthew 26. I heard that. Verse number 57, and we'll read through verse 63. And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's place, palace, and went in and sat with his servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God, and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Now, if there ever were a case for the most unjust event in history, this would probably be it. It was the trial right before Jesus was crucified at Calvary. Here you have the sinless, just Savior being falsely accused of wrong, worthy of death by sinful people, by unjust people. He was perfection being accused by sinlessness. He was total justice being falsely accused by sinful, unjust people. Right. And yet Jesus answered not a word. Now, there were so many injustices in this trial. It's not just the end result of Calvary that was unjust. That's what I want you to see tonight. There was more to the injustice about Calvary than the actual killing of Jesus Christ. That was just the end result. But there were many stages of injustice up to that point. The whole process was unjust. Notice the words in verse 59. Now the chief priests, by the way, that's religious people. It didn't say the politicians. It said the chief priests. And the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Notice it didn't say they sought just witnesses. They sought false witnesses. They were seeking people who had falsely accused Jesus so they could kill him. That's not just. If you look at verses 59 or verse 60, but they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses. There were many that came that were saying that they would testify falsely, but lost their courage. Finally, they found two that were willing to do it and collaborate together, make it work. Now, the judges were seeking false witnesses to condemn Jesus and put him to death. And what had he done wrong? Not a thing. Matter of fact, they were going to let a murderer go in his place who was worthy of death. How many times in life we rush to judge in an unjust way and we make bad decisions? Now, you have to realize he was accused and tried and crucified within 24 hours. You talk about speedy trial. you're talking in less than 24 hours, he was hanging on a cross. There was no seeking to prove him innocent. It may be in our marriage, it may be our children, it may be at work or at church, but we hear something and believe it's true, and never one time do we try to verify it. It's justfulness. Never one time do we judge the validity of it. Truth is not to be assumed. Truth is to be proven. Let me say that again. Truth is not to be assumed. It's to be proven. In geometry, how many of you had geometry in school? Some, yeah. Yeah, those are the best 3 years Brother Barnes ever had. that's funny. In geometry, they have something called, anybody remember what they're called? Proofs. What is that? Proofs are you do the work on a problem, and then virtually you have to work it backwards to prove why it was right. And you say, what is that? You are proving your answer. I'm not going there, Brother Ron. You know, answer not a fool according to his folly. Now, you see, even in geometry and math, you prove your work. When you are in elementary school and junior high, you learn basic division. Well, there's a way to check your answers. You take the number that you have at the top, multiply it over here, and it should come out to the number inside the bracket if it's division. In multiplication, you can check your answers. Same thing in addition and subtraction. And you can check your answers. You say, why is that? To prove that you are right. Truth can be and should be proven. Amen. Now, tonight, I want to give you the most frequent areas and ways people are unjust. It all relates back to this event here at Calvary. They're related in principle, and I'll show you as we go through this, but I have 8 things I want to give you tonight. And I want you to listen carefully. Number one, the unjustness or the misjustice of not liking someone. Ouch. When you say you don't like someone, you're judging them. Now, there are some people I like less than others, but there's nobody that I hate. Okay, we hear a word used a lot these days. Prejudice. Okay? Well, you're prejudiced. You don't like black people, or you don't like Spanish people, or you don't like white people, or you don't like fat people, you don't like skinny people, you don't like short people, you don't like tall people. We have this word that we throw around a lot called prejudice. Do you know what the word prejudice means? To prejudge. Just because someone has a certain skin color, you have judged them to be something they may not be. Do you know that? I'm not a big Martin Luther King Jr. fan, trust me, but there is some truth in what he said. We're not supposed to judge people based on their color, but by the character of a person. Okay? Everybody doing okay? Now, listen to me real carefully here. We also shouldn't judge people based on their religion. Did you know? I am diabolically opposed to the Mormon religion, but that doesn't mean Mormons are bad. Their religion is wicked as the devil.
Yes, sir.
But there's Mormons that are propagating untruth better than most Baptists propagate with soul winning.
Ouch. Yes, sir.
Say, how are you going to battle a Mormon? Knock on more doors than they knock on, win more people than they can win. Same thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. So many times we want to judge somebody, oh, that's a bad person. No, they may have bad doctrine, but it doesn't mean they're a bad person. Everybody understand that? Okay, now listen this way. Guess what? Just because somebody looks a certain way doesn't mean we're supposed to judge them. Did you know just by how somebody talks doesn't mean we should judge them? I knew people that got saved, hadn't been out of the world 6 months, and they were at Bible college. Their language is a little bit rougher than mine was. Matter of fact, they they said things that, in my opinion, wasn't appropriate. But they had never been around what they were around. And they grew. Why should I judge them? They were going the right direction. They were trying hard. Every once in a while, I'd say, I don't think you ought to say that. Why, was that bad? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. And now, for me to say, you filthy, wicked, rotten, no good scum, I'm not... Now, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be a big enough Christian to help them, not judge them.
That's right.
did you know that... Okay, children are very bad at this. Young people are horrible at this. Somebody looks different than they do and they laugh at them. That's why special needs people get laughed at. That's why somebody that has maybe just one arm or one leg, they get laughed at by people. You know, that's not a way to judge somebody. You know, just because somebody looks a certain way, have you looked in the mirror? You'll not want to judge too many people, trust me. See, we get prejudice and we say, well, I don't like that person because of what church they go to. Oh, you're a big boy Christian, aren't you? That's real big girl stuff. I may not like the church they go to, but it doesn't mean I don't like them. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on here. We're going somewhere. Judging on appearance is unjust. Turn your Bible, John chapter 15. I'll show you. They were judging Jesus by appearance. Look at John chapter 15. This is just prior to Calvary. And look at verse number 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Did you know that the people that unjustly accused and tried Jesus had no cause to hate him?
That's right.
They just didn't like what he was doing, and they didn't like him. That's not a good reason. Why do you not like somebody? Because I don't like them. Well, that's real big stuff. We adults act that way. We hate people that have money. It's not fair. The boss has more money. He ought to let loose his money and give it to me. Well, when you run the company, you let loose of it. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. The 99 versus the 1%. The 1% ought to give up more of their money for the 99%. How about the 99% start working like the 1% to get to where they're at? Yeah, I have no problem with somebody making hundreds of millions of dollars if it's earned the right way. I'll be honest with you, I do have a problem with ball players making that kind of money playing a game. Now, I'm not against them as players, but may I say this? I think it's stupid that somebody makes $10, $15, $20, $25, $30 million playing.
That's right.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Playing. You say, well, it takes a lot of work. I understand, but it's still playing.
That's right.
It's still playing. And America's society has degraded because of it. There was a day, you go back into the 1920s and 1930s and 40s, those guys that played professional sports all worked full-time jobs. I think it's stupid that the NBA season starts in September or October and ends in the middle of June. A winter sport gets done in June. There's something wrong with that. It's called greed. Just so you know, all right? And I got to hurry. Number one, the unjustness of not liking someone. Number two, listening to only one witness is unjust. Listening to only one witness is unjust. Now, listen to me very carefully. Even the victim is not the witness. If you're only listening to a victim and you're basing your whole opinion on what one person says, you are unjust. Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
I'm going to give you an illustration. The tour group, Sunday night, I took them to Hosses after church. They grazed at Hosses for a while, sang for the waitresses in there. It was great. Came back came out into the parking lot, and the fireworks started, and they all jumped in the back of my truck watching the fireworks, started singing patriotic songs. Man, it was great. Wait a minute, we were sitting there, and they were eating. I drank water, didn't I, Mindy? I didn't eat anything. I was proud of myself. But I was sitting there, and Dr. Jorgensen sincerely looked across the table, and as it came out of his mouth, his wife was going like this. He said, "Brother Bush, what do you see at the college that you think needs to change?" I could tell Mrs. Jorgensen hadn't heard him ever say that, because she was going. And I said, "Doc, bless you." I said, "I can't tell you what to change." I said, "I don't live there. I don't work there." I said, "The only information I get is through my children, and it's very one-sided. So for me to tell you, you need to change something would not be just." I said, "The only thing that I would say, don't change anything doctrinally and keep going as far to the right as you can fundamentally."
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I said, "Past that, I can't tell you anything." He looked at me. He smiled. He said, "You're one of the few that have never told me what we need to change." I said, "Doc, I'm not there. How can I tell you what to change?" I said, "If I listen to my daughter or my son that graduated, it's only one-sided. I'm only getting part of the story." I said, "I might see some things that concern me, but again, I'm not seeing the whole picture. I'm not there. How could I tell you?" I said, "If you change that, it might change the whole college in a way that I couldn't understand. I'm not there." He said, "Thank you, Brother Bush." You know, that's, by the way, do I have opinions about it? Oh, yeah. But that doesn't mean I have the right to state those opinions, because it's only one-sided. I've only been on campus a couple days of my entire life there. I've not spent one day in the dorms there. Praise God. Those days are done. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, college is gone. I've not had to live under the rules. I've not studied the rules. I've not had to live in the same generation of college that they live in. I can't compare it to the college I went to, because we didn't even have computers back then. There was no such thing as a cell phone. There's a whole section in rule books that I would have no idea how to administrate, honestly, because I'm not from that era. Does that make sense? So for me to say, "I think this is stupid," I'm not there to know. So there's some rules I don't quite understand, but that doesn't mean that they're bad rules. I don't live with those rules every day. And by the way, I don't read them to find out what they are to think about them either. I got too many other things to get done in my life. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. Now watch this. Verse 59, they were seeking any one person to oppose Jesus. Look at verse 59. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Notice it says false witness, not false witnesses. They were seeking just one person that would accuse him so that they could put him to death. That's unjust.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know you shouldn't read or listen to accusation as truth in the papers or in the news or anywhere else? Yep. 95% of the news broadcasted in America, either on Facebook, on Fox News, in computer form, or on the TV station or on the radio, is somebody seeking you to make an opinion based on what one person sees it as. And not truth. Okay? Everybody doing all right? I watched the news for a couple minutes tonight just for an illustration. There was a fella shot in Louisiana this week by police officers. Everybody's got these police officers condemned as murderers already. Can I tell you something? We don't know all the facts. Say, "Well, we have a video." Yeah. We had a Rodney King video, too, and you only saw part of it, and you in America believed it, and we had the riots of L.A. You had partial videos from the dude out in St. Louis area, and then we find out what the real story was. But we rioted in the streets over what we thought we knew. Why don't we wait till this all comes about, all the facts are put together, the trial's been had, and then everything's put back together. Then if there was misjustice, then we get upset about it. Oh, no, 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 no. We want to take justice into our own hands. We saw something, so we know that's how it was. No, you don't.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And one witness is not just. Did you know my children never deserved the demerits they got while they were in school? If you ask them. It was always the teacher's fault. It was always their friend's fault. It was always somebody else. Well, others were talking. Yeah, but they were told to be quiet too. You were the last one to talk and you got nailed. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that... I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Bill and Hillary both have enough against them, they need to be in jail.
Amen. That's right.
Both of them have been found guilty, just so you know. President Clinton was impeached. He never faced the trial for it in the Senate, but he is still under impeachment. I don't care what the FBI director says. There's enough fact to prove it. Okay, we already know she's a liar.
Right.
I thought the President of the United States had to have integrity.
Yeah.
Phew. Now, I got to hurry up here. Number three, listening to two people who are not witnesses is unjust. Look at verse 60. But found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none, at the last came two false witnesses. Did you know that false witnesses are evil?
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's people collaborating to destroy somebody.
Yep, right.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yes,
I have watched this happen over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Two people get together, somebody's mad, they want something somebody else has, so let's go together and say this happened. And we'll get what we want. Just because two people say that they saw something doesn't mean somebody is guilty, just so you know. An accusation does not mean guilt. It just gives you the right to investigate the truth. Did you know if one person comes and tells me something, I'll say, is there anybody else that knows? No. Well, then we've got to wait a while. I've got to have another witness come forth by justice's sake. Now, don't get mad at me. It's biblical. I can't take the word of one. Now, watch this. Accusers sometimes will say they saw something that happened. Let me show you what I mean. But not all saw what happened. This guy in Baltimore. Do you know why three of the four officers so far that have been tried have been let go? Do you know who the chief witness in all of this is for this Freddie Gray dude? His friend that was running from the police at the same time that he was dealing drugs to, that was in the other side of the paddy wagon. He's already testified three different times in court that he himself could look through the holes in the paddy wagon and seeing Freddie Gray banging his own head against the wall in there. The guy snapped his own neck, just so you know. That's according to court record. Go look at it.
Yes, sir.
But we put police officers in jail. Police officers have lost their careers because of disability, because of being injured by rioters saying no justice, no peace, and they didn't have the facts. Everybody doing okay? I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'll even say it about what happened to Louisiana, and I only saw about 30 seconds of what took place. There was two words that settled every one of these cases. Yes, sir. If they would have all just done what the police officer said, there's no trouble. In every case. Okay? There was always resistance to right, to authority. All right? Now, I got to hurry. Because your friend told you something doesn't mean it's true. Well, you don't know my friend. They're very reliable. They're very trustworthy. They may be, but if they didn't see it and they're repeating it, they're just as wrong as you are for listening to it. And just because they said it doesn't mean it's right. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm moving on. Number four, repeating what one or two witnesses say without being completely tried is unjust. Did you know that that's why if you get picked for a jury trial, you're not allowed to talk about it to anybody? Because you could compromise the case. If you're on a jury, and that jury goes over the span of one day, and even before you become a juror, you have to sign an affidavit that says, I will not talk about the case to anybody. That's why they have alternate jurors, because if somebody messes up, they kick one off and they've had somebody else there to be able to take your place. You're not allowed to talk about the details of it to anybody. That's why in big high-profile cases, they'll even put them up in hotel rooms, keep them away from their families and everybody else, turn their phones off, everything. They're not allowed to talk to anybody from the outside world. You say, why? Because that's to keep all of the integrity of the evidence at the most pristine stage so that we don't go around talking about it. We shouldn't see information and form an opinion about it until after the case has already been tried. Did you know I don't have an opinion on whether the officer in Louisiana, the officers were right or wrong? My gut feeling is they're right, because I always side with the attacked. And right now, justice is being attacked. Just so you know. Now, if they're found to be guilty, I think they're worthy of the same punishment that anybody else should get in that case. But let's get all the facts together. Let's let it be put out in court and tried before we make that decision. Everybody doing okay? The crowd believed the accusers of Jesus to the point where they hollered, crucify him, crucify him. They hadn't heard any facts. They heard two false witnesses say he's claiming to be the Son of God. Well, let's crucify him. Boy, that's a punishable by death, isn't it? Number five, I got to hurry. Building an opinion based on what a witness says only is unjust. Did you know that if Mrs. Lopez says something about Miss Sue, and I form an opinion based on what Mrs. Lopez says, and I haven't checked on what really did take place, I'm unjust?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Some of you will get angry with me in years to come because I'm very slow to make a decision. Can I tell you why? Because I want to make sure we're making the right decision.
Yes, amen.
I want to make sure it's just.
That's good.
I want to make sure that we're not going to. I'd rather let somebody go that's guilty than convict somebody that's innocent.
Right.
Now, I don't want either to happen, but I'd rather side on safety. Two witnesses doesn't prove a case. Two witnesses just says you start investigating. If I say, well, Mrs. Lopez, I know you're saying this about Miss Sue, but does anybody else know? And she says, well, Miss April knows. Well, if April comes and talks to me, then I'll at least investigate it. But until then, I'm not even going to look into it.
Yes, sir.
And I don't.
That's right.
Say, why? Because I'm bound biblically by justice to do that. By the way, if her story and her story matches about that, doesn't mean she's guilty. It just means we start looking at it. Maybe both of them thought they saw something, but it's not really true.
Amen.
there could be something that they're missing in what they saw. Then we at least investigate it. But by the way, I don't form an opinion about it. If somebody told me that Brother Gus Collin was out round back smoking, he's one of our trustees, if I had two people that came to me and said, "Preacher, we saw Brother Gus out there smoking." Now, my opinion would be he probably was messing with some wires and they were smoking. As hot as it is, I wouldn't doubt it. But I would go to Brother Gus and say, "Brother Gus, there's been an accusation. I don't believe it, but I need to at least investigate it. Somebody said at this time, at this day, they saw you smoking." If he says, "Preacher, yeah, it was me," I'd say, "Okay, what are we going to do about it?" If he says, "Preacher, that wasn't me," I said, "That's fine. Where were you?" "Well, I was there, but I was working on something, and I was soldering something." "Well, maybe that's what it was." Yeah, those kinds of things happen. Just because two people said it doesn't mean he's guilty of it. Now, if it's Brother Stoltz, I probably believe it. Now, so building an opinion based on only what two witnesses say, be careful, you're not being just. Two witnesses means you only investigate. Doesn't mean there's guilt. Number six, I'm headed somewhere, hang on. Investigating without two witnesses is unjust. Did you know they held Jesus for a trial and didn't have any witnesses? Yep. They brought him in without any witnesses. Did you know you can't do that? You got to have accusation to bring somebody in? They did anyway. Because you say it happened or saw it happen doesn't mean I investigate. It takes two witnesses. Boy, I got to hurry up here. Social media is full of it. Social media is full of, "Well, we saw this and we saw this." Do you know how weak of a story social media is on evidence? You know, you can write anything. Some of you base all of your opinion on what you read in Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Can I tell you something? Twitter, that's the one I was thinking of, a birdie. Jailbird. Twitter. Just because it's written there doesn't mean it's true. I know that's a shock to you. Did you know not everything that people write is true? All right. I better hurry here. By the way, I'm going to throw this in. Did you know that it's evil to seek to destroy somebody? Evil is the pursuit after someone to destroy them. It is pre-planned, purposed collaboration to destroy someone else. That is evil. Got to hurry. Number seven. Making a judgment and seeking proof is unjust. By that I mean this. You make a judgment, and then you go try to prove it. In other words, you look at this story, look at verse 4 of the same chapter, Matthew 26, look at verse number 4. These are the leaders, and it says, "And they consulted that they may take Jesus by subtlety and kill him." Uh-oh. They want a death penalty. Then they were going to go out and find witnesses to substantiate the ability to go ahead and crucify Jesus. They made a decision. There was no trial. There hadn't been a trial yet. They were making a decision. Then they're going to go out, grab him, bring him in, and try to have a kangaroo court and try to crucify him. And that's what they did. How many times do we see this happen? That is evil. They sought guilt before anything had ever been tried, before there had ever been an accusation or anything. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. We ought to be trying to prove people's innocence, not guilt. We need to try to prove people's innocence, not their guilt. I've had people come to me and they'll say, "I saw this happen." And I'll say, well, do you have another witness? Yes, I have another witness. All right. We'll look into it. If you notice in the illustration with Brother Gus smoking, he was not smoking. I would have said, I'm trying to prove you innocent, not trying to prove you guilty. I got to investigate this. I want to clear your name. I don't go after somebody and say, bless God, you did this. Now you're going to confess to this. That's stupidity. Sorry. Got my tongue up there. Try to prove innocence, not guilt. I was working on something. There had been somebody accused and another preacher got involved. And they said, I'm going to prove this person wrong. I said, you're evil. I said, I'm done. You're evil. I'm trying to prove somebody innocent, not guilty. Well, I'm going to prove their guilt. By the way, destroyed an awful lot of people in the process to do it. Can I tell you something? That's evil. That's evil. Number 8, and I'm done. Only listening to one side is unjust. Say that again. Only listening to one side of the story is unjust. Did you know there's always two sides to every situation? Now, don't get mad at me. Do you know I believe the person that murders somebody has a side to the story that needs to be listened to? I didn't say that it changes the outcome, but they do have a side to the story. What if somebody was killed breaking into your home? Because you shot them. Does that mean you get the death penalty just because you shot them? You want somebody to listen to your side of the story, don't you? Somebody breaks into my house, double-aught buck and a 12-gauge, there's 5 shots sitting there. There's not going to be enough of you left to pick up by hand. They're going to shovel you out. Can I tell you something? I want them to listen to my side of the story. Just because you see something that has happened doesn't mean it happened the way somebody's portraying it. There's always two sides to a story. They didn't seek Jesus' side of the story. They told everybody what they wanted them to hear and then said, now what do you have to say for yourself? Yep. Jesus answered them not a word because Jesus was going to Calvary. He needed them to be sinful and unjust. Even the jeering mob only listened to one side of the story. By the way, usually when the mob is involved and the crowd is hollering, that's not the right side to be on.
Amen. Yeah.
I hate to tell you that. Mob rule rarely is ever right. Rarely ever right. No matter how bad the case or the situation, there's always a second side to the story. Even with your children. You need to listen to both sides of the story. If you've got 2 children involved, listen to both sides. You say, what if I can't decide what it is? You have to make a judgment call, but be careful. You better make sure. It's better to slow down and gather information. I'll promise you. You know, people don't need to be taught to lie. We do it naturally. We are of our father, the devil. We are born liars, every one of us. You don't have to teach a child to lie. You got to teach them to tell the truth. Did you know it's even easy to lie to yourself? We lie so much, it's easy to lie to ourselves. Oh, I can do that, and it's not so bad. I know Christians who used to be deacons that now believe drinking alcohol is okay because it's healthy. It's biblical. They drank wine for their stomach's sake, so it's good for your stomach, so we ought to do it for our health. And I know an awful lot of healthy drunks. Hello. That's insanity.
Yes, sir.
Now, no matter how bad the situation, there's always two sides. I love my children, but there's always two sides to a story. If my daughter's away at college and she says, Dad, this is just so wrong, I'll always say, have you talked to Dr. Jorgensen about this? No. Then you go talk to him. You go talk to Brother Fugit. You get the other side of the story. maybe you don't know as much as you think you know. I've done that with my boys. By the way, I remember one day I said that about a boss. My dad just about knocked my head off. I complained. He said, "You're the dummy that decided you'd work for that amount of money." I said, "Don't you complain about it to me." He said, "Instead of asking him for a raise, why don't you go work hard enough to earn one?" Ooh. Never forgot that. He said, "I don't ever want to hear you complain about your wages. You sign a piece of paper saying you're agreeing to it. Don't you ever complain about it." He said, "When you sign that paper, they don't have to ever give you a raise. You agreed to it." Ooh. He said, "The only reason he ought to give you a raise is because you make him more money so that he can pay you more money." Ooh. My dad wasn't very kind to me. I could have turned him into DHR for child abuse. My dad would have picked up the phone, dialed it, and said, "Here, do you want him?" I knew it, too. Can I tell you something? That's the other side of the story. So many times we want to believe our children so badly, or we want to believe somebody that we love so much that we don't want to believe the truth. We don't want to take time to look at the other side of the story. Maybe there is another side. Maybe no side is totally right, but maybe no side is totally wrong either. But that's what two witnesses are for, to begin to investigate to find out what that is. Don't form your opinion based on just two witnesses. Just because there's two witnesses doesn't mean somebody's guilty. Just so you know. Because you can conjure up false witnesses anywhere. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've got, these are the eight areas that we most commonly are unjust in our life.